Monday evening, everybody. I am the host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. What a crummy day. let's start the show off with a little moment of silence for those that lost their lives or are dealing with the traumatic injuries from the two explosions up there in Boston. So stand by, if you will. All right. Kind of hard to jump right into a show and be super excited about what it is that we do for fun when there's a tragedy that takes place within our country the way that it did today. So, but we'll do our best to make this show interesting. With me now, as always, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Alan Ryland. How are you, sir?
What's up? I'm good. What's up, man?
Chilling. We got a couple things to get to tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the Indian River Festival that went down this past weekend, talk a little bit about fishing, get a couple of reports, hopefully, for some folks from around the state and local as well here in Central Florida, and we're going to discuss the topic species of the evening, which will be black drum. I think we're going to start to try and every so often pick a species to talk about, and tonight I think we'll just discuss black drum. So, but to kick it all off, if you guys live underneath a rock or didn't hear, the location for the next boondoggle was released on Thursday night during Chip Show. We are heading up to Pensacola to Perdido Key. What's the name of the? I don't even know the name of the place. What's the name of the place? Anybody know? Alan? Yeah.
No, I forgot. Pensacola.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
Engler Adam is typing right now, so maybe. Oh, he just said Boondoggle. Where's that?
Boondoggle. You know, that's where it's at.
That's where it's at. Where's the name of the campground there, Adam? Thank you. Big Lagoon State Park. So, of course, that's going to be the weekend of October. Was it 15th? No. What is it? Damn, I'm off tonight, dude.
Yeah, it's October, I think, 13th through something. I'd have to look at a calendar to make sure. But
13th, 14th, 15th, something like that?
Yeah.
11th through the 15th. Wow. 11th through the 14th. Hey, we'll make it whatever it is.
Yeah,
11th
close.
Through the 20th.
Things Adam's on there.
Yeah. If Adam's there from the 11th to the 15th, I'm there too. But let's see. It hasn't been released yet that you guys can register. So don't forget, we're going to do things a little bit differently this year for the boondoggle or this upcoming boondoggle. You have to check with yakangler.com for the release date of when we can start to sign up. You have to register with yakangler.com to get your code. And then with that code, you'll be able to make your reservations at Big Lagoon State Park. I believe that's the way it's going to work. I didn't talk to Adam at all today, or yesterday, but I'm pretty sure that's what I got from it. There you go. More information, check out yakangler.com/boondoggle. There you go. So, we've got a couple people joining us here in the chat room. Guests, if you're listening to the show via podcast, or if you're just in the chat room just tuning in, you can log in and get involved in the chat room there by using either your Facebook account or just making it a login. Facebook account works pretty easy. That's how I always do it. What happened with that, Alan?
I don't know. Tried to switch over and nobody was there, and then they hung up.
Oh.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, folks, if you want to call in and give us a fishing report, feel free as always. The number for that is at the top of your screen. If you're watching this in the chat rooms, it's 714-816-4727. But yeah, cool. Chuck and Alan, BFF. Oh, Jesus. Whatever. I won't even entertain that. You, let's see, Pepe sent me a message. Pepe, those be fighting words. Oh, that's my message. yeah, hopefully Pepe will call in and give us a fish report. I know he got a chance to fish. Alan, we went down to this past weekend. We did the, or I did part a partial weekend. There was Tandem Buddies for sure. God, I hate the chat room. We had the Indian River Lagoon Festival there at Sandpoint State Park. Kayaks by Bo was had a booth there. So those of you that don't know, Kayaks by Bo located in Titusville, Florida, at 410 South Hopkins Avenue, US 1. They are the premier kayak dealer here in Central Florida. So we had me, you, Pepe came out, Wade came out. The McInerneys came out, Steve and Brenda, and Randy English was out there. It was good, man. I had a good time for the little bit of time that I was there at, at the Sandpoint Park. Goodness, give me a break. Until I had to leave and go to a birthday party. But after that, I heard you guys got really busy.
Yeah, we did. We had a heck of a crowd. I mean, we had a lot of people, just a variety. I mean, we had kids, families, a lot of people that, and it was surprising. One of the most comments I heard was, I did not know they were doing this type of thing with kayaks. I mean, they were just, they're used to seeing just the regular, plastic shell sit-in, no comfortable seating, no nothing. And, the Hobies, the Jacksons, the Natives. I know, Sunday, Randy English brought his whole fleet out there. He had the Slayer, the, a couple of the other ones. I can't think of the name, but, that was one of the main things I heard was people were just impressed by the innovation and the new styles of kayaks that are out there now and what they've done with, the seating, the storage, the, rod holding capacity, comfort. I mean, we had kids sitting in them. I know Steve McNerney was just, he was on fire with the Hobie promo stuff. I mean, he just was all over that stuff. People just, just utterly impressed with, the innovations of those. And, I brought my Big Tuna, brought my Cuda. Talked to a bunch of people about those and stuff. And, it was good. I mean, a lot of people just, haven't seen some of the latest kayaks out there. I think it's a good thing to show them what, what's out there now and what's available. So, it went good. I had a blast.
Sweet. Yeah. And it was funny, man, because this weekend seemed to be pretty packed with kayak-related activities around the state. I just saw Bill was talk to Bill there for a second. I know he's in the on the holding block there, but I know they had a demo day over there on the West Coast that they did, and I saw that there was some demo days down south as well. It's always interesting to go to a festival, and wow, phone line just blew up. It's always interesting to go to a festival and get the local kind of feel, of what's going on in the area. And it was funny for me because one of the things I noticed was the majority of the people that seemed to be seriously into the kayaks were older folks.
Mm-hmm.
We had a number of younger people stop by and kind of take a look at them, but the majority of the people that stopped by that actually spent some time, including Randy's buddy and Wade's buddy, stayed for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Some guys stayed all day, so asking questions about the different boats and whatnot. So it's cool, man. It's refreshing to see it. I think you should watch it. It's refreshing to see that there's that much enthusiasm and that much interest in the sport. You know, it's nice. It's nice to know that it's still growing. But, you know, I didn't get to fish this weekend. I picked up my new kayak on, or my new boat, I should say, on, Friday. Went down and got it on Friday. Had it there at the event to show off. Sitting in my driveway as we speak. Just got done a little hugging session with it for a little while the other day. And, you know, I was thinking actually about taking the thing out on Wednesday, but it would appear I'm going to go chase some dolphin around off of Port Canaveral. Yeah, so I got a buddy of mine called me up this morning, asked me if I wanted to go do some trolling, and I think that's in the mix. So, but, you know, I know Pepe got a chance to fish this weekend. And before he came up there on Saturday, Pepe, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
What's going on,
what's
brother?
Up? Here, man. Tired, man.
Give us the lowdown, man. What all went down on the fishing excursion?
It was good. I actually went out with Wade, Lenny, Adam, and who else? And Captain Jeff, my buddy Jeff, went out with us. It was a few of us that went out. We launched out of the NASA Causeway there, in a no motor zone. Actually, pretty good. You know, it was pretty nice in the morning, overcast and stuff, but it was really nice. And sure enough, there on the north side, we started getting onto the fish right away. I mean, my first cast, saw some bait being busted up. And my first cast that I made that morning, I caught a pretty decent red, a mid-slot red, on a Slayer SSB. So, that was my very first cast. So it was good. And then Wade and Jeff were somewhere towards the middle, little deeper water, catching a bunch of trout. They said they could have caught all the trout they wanted to sit in. And, I kept on going, and with Lenny and with Adam, kept on looking for more reds and stuff, and found some more. Like, you know, just like last week, they were over in that area there, a bunch of reds all over there. But, you know, then when I got over towards Buck Creek, like I told you, I think when I was speaking to you on the phone, people came over, paddled over from all the way from Cars. I counted 12 kayaks in the water at the same time, pretty much in that area. I was like, holy cow. I mean, there were kayaks everywhere in that area, but the fish were there, you know, and just south of Buck Creek. I pretty much caught on that same flat that I was on last week and stuff, and sure enough, caught a couple more reds there. There were a couple more guys there with fly rods. I actually wish I had the fly rod with me, and I didn't take it. You know, and these two guys were with fly rods and fishing the same school of fish that I was fishing. And they were with the fly rods, and they were hooking up on reds with fly rods right there. And we were standing, practically I was 20 yards away from these guys. We were all fishing. We were fishing the same school. This school of fish would not leave. So,
wow.
Did not see those black drum, though. I didn't see them this time. So, it was good. And then these guys caught some more reds and stuff, so it was actually a good morning, you know. It was a very good morning, and the wind picked up, and that's it. It was over. So,
well, go ahead.
No, it was a good morning. It was. I mean, it's starting to warm up. Water's starting to warm up, and the fish are starting to get, you know, it's starting to get good again. And I also saw some monster trout. I did see some monster trout in really shallow water, but they did not want to eat, man. Those things did not want anything to do with, I mean, they're a big trout.
Well, let me ask you this. You went from for Diablo. Now you're on the native team, and I know you had some time in the ultimate, but I know you just picked up that new Slayer. What are your thoughts on that Slayer? I mean, be honest now. Don't be captain native pro staffer. Tell me what
no,
you think
I'm
about
being
it.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I really, to tell you the truth, I'm really, really, I mean, really happy with it. Of course, I'm used to being on the Diablo all the time, which the Diablo 36 inches wide. You could do handstands on a Diablo and you're not going to fall over. I mean, that's how stable it really is. It's a great fishing platform. It's just a little bit harder to paddle and stuff. This thing here, the Slayer 14.5, is 30 inches wide, and it's long, but it's a 30 inches wide that's actually very stable. It's very stable. It's very easy to stand on. I mean, you don't have to have a lot of balance to be able to stand on it. I've compared the Ultimate and the Slayer now that I've paddled the Ultimate 14, and the Ultimate does paddle better. It does. It does paddle better. It's faster. It's sleeker in the water. But the Slayer's not bad. It's not going to win any races and stuff, but it's not bad. It does track very well. I mean, very well. Without having a rudder on it, it does track very well. Much better than the Ultimate, I'll tell you that. I can't be any happier with it than I am. I mean, really. I mean, the platform just great. I don't know if you guys have seen on the Slayer 14.5, you have a little platform in the front where you're supposed to have like you could put a GPS or a depth finder or fish finder,
right,
or whatever up in the front.
Right.
Well, that little track there in the front, I actually put a RAM mount that Hook One sells that's called X-Grip. It's called an X-Grip. And it's a stand. It's actually a mount that holds your iPhone right in front of you.
Yeah, I saw that
today
in the Hobie catalog.
You saw it?
Yeah, they got it in the Hobie catalog.
That thing is the best thing, let me tell you, to put your iPhone right in front of you there, and you put the app that does the timer camera, and to take hero shots. Oh, my God, that thing is the best to do hero shots. I mean, because you just press a button, picture turns on, you have yourself right there in the screen, you center yourself, and that's it. You take a picture and let it go.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool.
Yep.
So you're happy with it.
Yep.
That's good, man. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, very happy with it, man. I can't complain. Now my next one will be the Mariner.
Sweet. Well, real quick, stay on the line. We're going to come back to you for some tips on chasing black drum. But I want to jump over to Ed real quick. For those of you that don't know Ed, Ed is the owner and proprietor of Hill Brand Leatherworks out in Orlando. Ed is going to compete in the Extreme Kayak, what do they call it, Extreme Kayak Fishing Tournament or what have you?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Down in Pompano Beach.
Extreme, yeah, there you go, down in Pompano Beach. Ed just went down to Pompano, check it out for the first time. Dude, tell us, what's up? How was it? I know it was a little bumpy, but how was your first experience doing that down there?
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the Fish Weather app and Magic Seaweed for the last couple of weeks, kind of planning on going down there just to check it out. I've never vertical jigged in a kayak before or done any of that type of fishing. And from what the app was saying, the winds were only supposed to be about 7 miles an hour, seas like maybe 1 or 2 foot. Get out there, and the surf wasn't bad, but once you started getting into deep stuff, it was more like 2 to 3, maybe 4 foot at times. The wind was just howling the whole time, but it wasn't too choppy, if that makes any sense. You know,
yeah.
You're really just riding the swells. So I really didn't feel unsafe at any time unless, like, there was a boat just buzzing past us. So a real big thing I need to pick up next time I'm over there by Kayak by Bow is a flag. A flag is a definite must out there. You could be out in Portland and not see a boat all day long, but down there, easily 10, 15 boats around us just playing with the wrecks.
That's a good point, man. I was actually going to get to that on my next show, which we're going to do a little bit more talking about offshore fishing, because I think most of us are pretty much bound and determined to do more of it this year than we have in the years past. But visibility, not for your own good to see your buddy, but for bigger boats to be able to see you. And that's one of the things we have to stress, especially here in this region, for guys that are thinking that they're going to go, you know, powering off of Cocoa Beach looking for cobia in the heat of the cobia run. You stand a very good chance of getting run over by a 50-foot sport fisherman. It's not going to see you in between swells. So good call on that one, man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, I mean, once we got out there, I really wasn't that prepared to go out there. I brought the jigs and all that. Didn't have really any wire. I had to bum some stinger rigs on the way back in. So wire is another big must to have down there. I thought dolphin and tuna weren't really going to cut you off, but there's a lot of wahoo down there, a lot of kingfish, a lot of mackerel. I was looking on the fish finder, about 200 depths. Really wasn't a lot of fish going out there, but coming back in as the storm started coming up to us, there was a lot of activity right around the 60 to 100-foot depths, a lot of mackerels. And that's where a lot of the guys, the locals there, were just crushing it coming in. They're picking up kingfish after kingfish. One guy pulled out a 40-pound amberjack off one of the wrecks out there. So those guys definitely know what they're doing. But I will say the surf out there is a lot easier to launch off of and a lot easier to re-enter in because it just breaks on the shore. Once you get past that shore break, it's easy as pie, not like Playa Linda.
Yeah, and that's definitely an advantage they have down there as well. But, vertical jigging, man, I've never really done much of it out of the kayak just because it doesn't make sense to do a whole lot of it here. There's just not enough depth of water, and most of our species are running around bait pods and things like that. But offshore, when we always vertical jig, if we're going to jig the upper column, I always run wire, because the dolphin doesn't give a crap if you're running wire or not. They're still going to eat it. The tuna sometimes get a little shy by it, but, that's cool, man. So you had a good time down there then, huh?
Yeah, overall I had a good time. I was exhausted. I left from Orlando at like 2:30 in the morning to try to get down there to the bait shop by 5:30. That's where everybody was meeting at. So, I'd like to see if I can get down there again once the weather calms down a little bit. And I think it could be real productive down there, seeing what the locals were pulling in that crap weather.
Yeah, and I'd love to get down there with you next time when we get a good weather window, and I'd love to try and do some live baiting down there. I think that would be a lot of fun. I know vertical jigging is super productive, but there's something about watching a dolphin or a sailfish or something come up and crush a live bait on the surface. It just sounds like a lot of fun to me. So,
one of the guys coming in, he caught a sailfish in about 50 foot, and
nice.
It was really cool. I mean, you see the pictures online on the forum post and all that. But to be, maybe a couple hundred yards away from him, and then you see a guy fighting a fish, and all of a sudden a sailfish jumps out of the water. That was really, really cool to see.
Yeah, and then, in fact, that's one of the reasons why I'm so stoked about going where we're going for the next boondoggle, is because it's kind of the same deal over there. It doesn't drop nearly as fast, but the species are pretty much consistent with what you saw down there. Up in the panhandle, we should be able to, from what I've talked to, Drew told me, he kind of gave me a little bit of insight, Drew Mixon. He said that, you might be able to see some dolphins, some sailfish, some kingfish, maybe some cobias still hanging around, grouper snappers, triggerfish inside. You'll get your redfish and stuff too. But, to have that playground at our disposal for an entire weekend sounds like a freaking good time.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Absolutely.
But, I know you're going to fish the tournament. What dates are the
dates
of that tournament?
I'm going to try to get down there one more time before the tournament. The tournament's on the 18th of May, and I think there's another tournament going on here, the Trout Tournament, which that seems to be all I'm catching up here right now, so I wish I could do both. But, I'm going to see if I can get down there in the next few weeks just to check out the lay of the land again.
Yeah, so that's the 18th of May, and that's down in Pompano Beach. Anybody wants to check it out? Don't they have a website set up for that tournament?
Yeah, I think it's extremekayakfishing.com. Let me hop on the laptop. Yeah, it's extremekayakfishing.com, and then you should be able to find something there.
Sweet. And, if you guys aren't going to fish with us over at Cars Park for the Troutzilla tournament, May the 18th, and feel free, head on down south and try your hand at it. If nothing else, it'll be a good opportunity for you to get out and try out different waters, and that's just one more notch in your belt and makes you feel more comfortable to do those things. There's a lot of us up here that haven't done the deep water kayaking like they do down south. So, it's kind of a mind over matter thing for some. Others like myself and you and I'm sure Pepe and Alan and some of the other guys probably won't really care if it's, you know, 200-foot of water below your head, over your head anyway. You can't stand up anymore anyway. But cool, man. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. And hang on the line, too. I want you to chime in on the Black Drum situation.
All right.
All right, man. Hang on one sec. And, guys, real quick, I'm going to pull a Mark Wheeler here real fast. I'm going to take a page out of his show book and hit a little commercial spot real fast with some Yak Sushi music. Love that music. Folks, if you're in the Brevard County area and you're looking to do some kayak buying or renting, stop by and check out Kayaks by Bo. We deliver to the river. That's our little motto. Big, giant yellow building on US 1 heading southbound once you just get past the Titusville Playhouse. The address is 410 South Hopkins Avenue, US 1, Titusville, Florida, and the phone number is 321-474-9365. Whether you're looking at a Hobie, a Jackson, a Native, a Wilde, Diablos, Oceans, New Canoes, we've pretty much got everything you need, including all of your Yak Attack gear and bending branches and aquabound paddles. Check it out. It's pretty sweet. Come on by and say hello. We're open 7 days a week. All right. Well, get that out of the way. And let's see. From Ed, what, Pepe dropped off. What's up with that? From Ed, we're going to go to Rob. Mr. DeVore. Hello.
Don't sound so disappointed, man.
I'm not, dude. It's Rob's going cross the board.
Yeah, Pepe can now. You got to go to Rob.
Pepe left. We got to go to Rob now. What's going
That's
on,
hard.
Buddy?
I'm kidding. Nothing, man. Didn't get out fishing over the weekend, but. Now to the paddlefishing.com demo days yesterday. My buddy Keith is shopping for a Slayer, and he wants to, since I bought his old kayak, now he's shopping for a Slayer, and he wanted to test drive the 14.5 and the 12. So we went and did that yesterday. Ran into the always popular Haywood out there, Bill Howard. And Gator Dave was out there, Rusty Driver, and a couple other people. It was cool. That's always a cool event, man. You get all the kayak makers. I think everybody was out there. The only ones I did not see, I think, were Jackson. Everybody, you know, Hobie was out there. It was really cool. And there was quite a bit of people out there coming out that had never kayaked before that wanted to try one out, and that's a perfect opportunity, you know, when you have this sort of thing. So it was cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing we did, except the only difference was we weren't really doing demos. We had Real Expeditions, which does local guided trips, just like eco trips, and they do some fishing stuff too. And they were out there. We had over 100. He printed up 150. I think that's what it was. Wasn't it, Alan? 150,
and he ran out before the day was up Sunday, and had to start filling out. He had like a legal pad, one of those yellow legal pads. He started filling out stuff on that, having him sign that because he blew through all his releases. So yeah, he did over 150. I know.
Think about that perspective. Heck yeah, man, that's 150 people that. I can tell you by looking at most of them that they could never kayak a day in their life. And
some of them came back
very wet. What's that?
I said most of them came back dripping wet.
Yeah.
But it was pretty rough Saturday, though. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But we had a great turnout over here too, man. We had the Hobies on display, the Jacksons on display, and the Natives in full force. You know, we were sending people over to Tom's shop, and Tom's on the line, too. We'll get to Tom in just a minute. But, you know, it was a great event, man. So I'm glad you got to get outside. Did your buddy find anything that he liked?
Well, they didn't have a 12, and he really wanted to try a 12, too. So we ended up going to Bill Jackson's and afterwards. and he wanted to test drive that. And I did too, man. I test drove the Slayer too, 14. And one thing that I can see why it's so popular. It's a very nice boat. But the one thing that I really like about it is besides the seat, is that you can actually stand up really easily in that thing. You know, as far as like, no matter if the seat is high or low, it's really easy to stand up. And
yeah, the floor is lower than most of the other sit on top style boats.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, the thing about the Malibus is great to stand up on, you know, but it's getting up and down because it's almost like you have to put your feet above where you're sitting in order to get up, you know, and the same thing back down. So that was really cool. That was the one thing I really noticed about it. But it's a really nice boat, and I think he's going to be happy with it, man.
Sweet. That's awesome, man. I just saw Wade there in the chat room said that Space Coast Kayak Anglers is creeping up to 300 members. Yeah, I think we're at 279 members right now, which is awesome. I can't tell you how many people jumped on board as soon as, you know, we were talking to them about it at the event. This past weekend we had our banner hanging up, and some of us were wearing our shirts and stuff, so that was cool. Got some folks interested in it. I know like every 15, 20 minutes I'd check my phone and there'd be somebody else requesting to join the group. So that's awesome, man. Cool stuff. Rob, what's your next, when's your next fishing trip, man? When's your next video / fishing trip?
Well, I don't know. We'll probably get out fishing this weekend. There's word that kingfish are off the beach. And we might go try that. But
nice.
Steve Dittman's been bugging the heck out of me about going and doing that. So I've never done that before, but I've always wanted to. So you know, if he hooks up and I get some good video, that would be awesome. And then I'm getting ready for, I think Mike is coming over the first weekend in May. So I'm getting everything clearing the decks for that, and we're gonna begin earnest, so it's going to be cool.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome, man. Can't wait for that. Well, cool, man. Hang on. I'm going to go back to you in just a minute for some Black Drum info, too. So just stand by for me.
Awesome.
All right, cool. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Tom Altus himself, Mr. Kayaks by Bo.
Hey, Chuck. I just wanted to give a big shout-out to you and Pepe and Wade and Randy, Vicky, Steve and Brenda, Alan, and of course my friend Gary Boyer. Y'all did such a fantastic job at the Indian River Festival. And I just wanted to call in and let you know we really appreciate it.
No, thank you. And you know what, I guess I could probably speak for most of the guys and Vicky included that. We're very appreciative of the fact that you and Lynn have built the building that you did and support the sport that we love the way you do, and stand up for us when it comes to Shiloh, too, which, you know, obviously is a very sore subject for a lot of us. But, you know, it's the least we can do for all that you do for us.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm going to try to get out of the store more, and I'm going to be going up to Pensacola for that next boondoggle, I can tell you that.
Nice.
I just wanted to call in and really give our thanks and appreciation for everything you all did. And so I'm going to let you go, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good, boss. I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
see ya.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, we are going to have none other than Vicky herself doing a Fish Like a Girl seminar on the 27th of this month. We're going to try and do a cleanup prior to that seminar for all of these Space Coast Kayak Angler people and folks who are a part of our group that want to be a part of the cleanup, you're more than welcome. Even the Orlando Kayak Fishing Club's invited out to this event. we just want to get as many people together as we can to try and, help out the wildlife refuge. We're losing valuable launching spots because of the fact that people keep trashing the place out there. I mean, there's more closed roads out there now, it seems, than there are open roads. So maybe if we get together and do more cleanups, it might, push them to open up some more areas for us. But anyhow, that seminar will be at noon on Saturday, the 27th of this month, to be followed by a Space Coast Kayaking group meeting. As most of you guys know from being in previous meetings, they're very low-key. Most of the time, we don't even have anything really to talk about. We just kind of sit around and just jibber-jab amongst ourselves. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs, or just hamburgers, one. I'm not real sure what all we're going to do. We'll have food available, though, and then hang out and talk. It'll just be a good time. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's always go and Boudin, or Boudin, however you want to call it.
Just going to say Boudin or Boudin. Gotta have that.
Saw Randy. Randy jumped on that real quick. And then I can't move on to the black drum yet. We got to go to Andrew Mixon, Uno Moss. What's up, brother?
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Man, it's a wonderful day here in Central Florida. What's going on with you, man?
Oh, I just got back from Pensacola. I did a little bit of visiting right where the Boondoggle was going to be. Fished with a bunch of those locals that are really looking forward to everybody being up there in October. It's going to be a good time.
Okay, we're all looking forward to it, man. I've never personally fished that area up there. Looking forward to definitely trying to do some different things. I know I'd spoken to you in one of the chat rooms on a different show, and you dropped the grouper name on me, man, and you got me salivating a little bit. Is grouper season open then?
I haven't looked to even see if grouper season is open then. We're going to be up there, the second week of October? That is just that's like our March down here. That's just a fantastic time for fishing. Just about anything that swims you can fish for there, both inshore and offshore both. I've got a fantastic little grouper spot that we actually found accidentally flounder fishing years and years ago. We were doing some flounder fishing and kept getting broken off, and I'm like, man, this is crazy. So I just kept upsizing the gear until I was basically using my bottom fishing gear, and we started catching keeper-sized grouper, right there in the bay. It's a fantastic little spot that's easily reachable by kayak. I haven't been back to fish it by kayak, so I'm really anxious to get up there in October and try it out.
Sweet. Well, we're definitely looking forward to it. How did you fare this past weekend?
It was a good weekend. This past Saturday was the Gulf Coast Kayak Fishermen's Association, their annual tournament. They had 195 kayakers competing in that tournament. Everything from speckled trout, redfish, flounder. They had a slam, kingfish, Spanish mackerel. Then they had the Hooters. Hooters was one of the sponsors. The Hooters' biggest pair, which is kingfish and Spanish together. And then they added a pelagic division this year, which was the largest of cobia, dolphin, tuna, amberjack. I think that was it for the pelagic. They had about a half a dozen cobia brought in. I think the biggest one was 45. And full of tuna. Of course, none of them were quite that big. Only a few kingfish. I want to say the kingfish were in the 20s. Some pretty good redfish. And remember, up there, the limit is two per person, so they could bring two redfish into the scale. So it was an aggregate of two reds. Some really good flounder. And just by sheer luck, yours truly won the speckled trout division. I caught a 6.0-pound speckled trout to take first place.
I like how you say just by sheer luck. You placed or won in anything, my friend. I have a feeling that there's a lot more skill involved in that than just sheer luck, but congratulations on that for sure.
I appreciate it. Actually, I was flounder fishing. I caught that fish on a bull minnow about 2 inches long in one of my old flounder haunts, and I happened to catch a decent redfish, so I was really in the running for the slam, but I fished for like 7 hours for a flounder, and I could not get one to bite. Guys all around me were catching flounder, and I couldn't catch the first flounder.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, hey, 6-pound flounder, especially up in that region, is a nice fish. Nice fish in any region, but especially during the tournament, man. I'd like to get one of those. What is it? The 18th of May. That would be a good time to catch a 6-pound flounder here in Carr's Park.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, I just wanted to mention a couple of things about the Perdido area, since the Boondoggle is going to be up there. You know, I lived there for about 20 years, I guess. I live within walking distance of Big Lagoon State Park, so I just wanted to mention a couple of things about that area from a local
standpoint.
When people are looking it up on the internet, keep in mind that it is Big Lagoon State Park. There's actually a Perdido Key State Park. That's a totally different park, so it's Big Lagoon State Park. That we're going to be at. And the body of water that it's on is actually Big Lagoon. You'll hear other people calling it Grand Lagoon or Mother Lagoon, you know, other names, but it's Big Lagoon. It's a really nice park. Of course, it's a state park. It's set up a little bit differently than Carr's Park. There's more winding roads and trees. It's not really much of a giant open area like Carr's Park was. So there's going to be a little more moving around from campsite to campsite rather than everything being in one giant area. I think you went up there and visited. Did you visit the park at one time?
No, that's Adam and I think Mark Wananabe. I think they're going to be going up there.
Everything up there is really first class. They've got a huge pavilion. It's huge, where I think all the ceremonies and things like that, the dinners and things are going to be, which is just, it's absolutely first rate. There's a huge amount of beachfront, and, you know, Pensacola is known as the place that's got some of the world's whitest beaches. So even there along Big Lagoon, the beach is just, it's fine sugar sand. It's white. You know, it's absolutely beautiful. So it's not quite as muddy as it was at Carr's Park. So it'll be a different experience there on the beach. There is a regular boat ramp there, and plenty of places that you can launch kayaks as well. Within a bicycle ride of the park, there's a Winn-Dixie shopping center, and I think there's a new shopping center that's right down the road too. I want to say there's a Publix, but the Winn-Dixie is right there. Hot Spots Bait and Tackle is one of the tackle shops that's right there in Perdido. And I talked to the owners of Hot Spots Bait and Tackle this weekend to kind of give them a heads up on what was going on, and they want to help out. I've got to get their information to you and to Mark. I know there was some talk about seminars and things like that, and they want to get some of the local guides involved to come out and talk to everybody about how to fish and, you know, what to look for and baits that they use in Pensacola, that sort of stuff. So Hot Spots wants to get involved.
Very cool.
There was some talk about some other things to do for the kids and family and stuff there in Pensacola. Pensacola, of course, is the cradle of naval aviation. When the Navy decided they need to have airplanes, they started right there in Pensacola. So it's a huge training base, and it's part of naval history. The Naval Flight Museum is there, which is a fantastic half a day you can spend in the flight museum, seeing everything from the old biplanes all the way up to spacecraft and stuff. There's a lighthouse there on Pensacola Bay. They do a tour of the lighthouse, which is really cool. Perdido Key is kind of like the island we have here, off the beach. Perdido Key is actually the island area, and there's a lot of public access there on the key for the wife and kids if they want to go to the beach. I looked it up real quick. Temperatures, I think, 60s for the lows and 80s and the highs in October, so
nice.
it should be pretty nice. So,
Hey, Drew, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, I know you guys are talking about, you know, beach launching and, different kind of grouper stuff like that. I know there was some stuff on Facebook. I saw guys catching kingfish right off the beaches and stuff there. Have they got this may be a dumb question, but I've just never been up there in that area. Have they got the similar type inshore stuff, marsh or, you know, I know it's big on oysters and stuff like that, so I imagine so. But what is the, is there like a variety where you've got, you know, the offshore stuff, the inshore type? You know, like we're used to down here and stuff. Is there pretty much like either or?
It's very similar. Pensacola has two tides a day, so the tides are very important. You have a high tide and a low tide every 24 hours, so it is very tidal. It's not quite as marshy as our waters down here. It's more sand, but there is a lot of grass. Just imagine what the lagoon looked like 5 years ago. That's what Big Lagoon looks like now. It's just all pearl grass and eel grass. The water can be really, really clear. That area is called the Emerald Coast because the water can be emerald green. It can be really, really clear there. The potholes are easy to see in the grass beds and things because the sand is white, so they stick out like, you know, like spots on a Dalmatian. You know, it's really easy to see the potholes. Redfish, trout, and that time of year, they actually have a flounder run. The flounder will move out of the rivers and the bays and be moving out into the Gulf to do their spawning thing. And October is typically when that happens. So there'll be some flounder moving back and forth. And whether you're fishing for them or a lot of the guys do it at night, they gig them. That's a big thing. Guys have, you know, boats set up specifically for flounder gigging with the lights on the front and stuff. So you can do it just as simply as walking down the beach with a Coleman lantern and a gig, you know, with the flounder. But most of the beaches, most of the shoreline is more open. There's not a lot of creeks. There's not a lot of backwaters. You know, it's more open. It reminds me of No Motor Zone. You know, that same type of water. The shorelines, of course, are just more sand than mud. So expect, you know, redfish, trout, flounder. You'll catch bluefish, ladyfish, Spanish mackerel in the bay. We're not that far from the pass, which goes out into the Gulf. The Gulf, because it is so much farther north, there's no real live reef in Pensacola. What they do have is some hard corals, but that's a little farther offshore. There's some limestone outcroppings. Most of that stuff's a little farther offshore. The stuff that's inshore are artificial reefs. If you just Google artificial reefs in Florida, you will come up with page after page of the artificial reefs. And it's not just like you see up and down the East Coast where they sink giant ships. You know, guys will sink chicken coops. That's a real, real big thing, which I know sounds kind of silly, but chicken coop is basically a big metal cage that they transport chickens in up and down the highway before they go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And these are giant metal structures, and these guys will they'll get a permit, take them out there, and dump them. So there's a lot of that sort of stuff out there. So off the beaches is just riddled with those kind of wrecks. There's a couple of public wrecks out there that the county has put down. The numbers are published. There's a real famous wreck right outside the pass called the USS Massachusetts. It's an old Navy boat. I think it was one of the first three steel hull boats made for the Navy. So it's, you know, it's old as Methuselah, right outside the pass. And up and down the beaches, you know, there's a lot of spots like that. So trolling up and down the beaches, kingfish, Spanish. You know, you guys have seen the videos and pictures of Brandon Barton and all those guys up there catching snapper and grouper and triggerfish and sailfish and mahi and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a fantastic fishery. It really is. There's going to be something for everybody.
Nice. I'm ready. Book it.
My wife told me if I can't go, she's going without me. So I guess nice. I better get something done at work, yeah. So she'll be there for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be using your kayak with the sea deck in it too.
I'll talk about that too.
Yeah, I know. But I know Jess is excited about it, aren't you, babe? Started going to the Panhandle to do some different fishing, different viewing. Mm-hmm, she says. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Cool, man. Definitely appreciate all that information. And as we get closer and closer, I'm going to be relying on you and hopefully get Brandon and some of those guys to call the show and give us some information on rigs and that type of thing. As I said, I've never fished up that way before. I mean, I've obviously fished a lot for groupers and snappers and dolphin and sails and all that kind of stuff on our coast. But I'm sure it's much, much different than what I'm used to doing as far as gear and all that kind of stuff is concerned. But that's awesome, man. Well, let's take one more little, as we call them, breaks here on the show just to give me an opportunity to wet the whistle and gather my thoughts before we jump right into Black Drum. So stand by. I like the ninja music. We're going to go back to that. Actually, you know what? We're not going to go back to ninja music. Let's go to the yakangler.com soundbite if I still have it. I don't have it. It's gone. Where'd it go? Oh, that sucks. Okay, cool. Well, we'll go back. Yep, there it is. Found it. Moved it.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Folks, pretty simple. if you're tired of having a scattered deck full of tackle boxes and hooks and jigs and pliers and fish slippers and charts and maps and everything else cluttering up the floor of your kayak, I got a solution for you. Tackle Webs. Captain Mike Ortego, who is the inventor slash proprietor of Tackle Webs, has come up with a multitude of different styles and sizes to fit just about every kayak's need, including boats, offshore boats, inshore boats, flats boats, bass boats, poling platforms, casting decks. If you name it, he can put a Tackle Webs on it. Definitely have to check him out. As most of you guys may have seen on my Facebook page, I've got two brand new bags on either side of my brand new chair of my Hobie Pro Angler 14. Super excited about that. Definitely, guys, have to check them out. TackleWebs.com. For more information, also to look up TackleWebs there on Facebook. Follow them, be a friend of theirs. And of course, Mike Ortego is part of the world renowned and famous. Got it. Fluff them a little bit, man. I said it. Fish in Florida Radio, along with Steve Chapman and Boudreaux, Saturday mornings from 6 in the morning to 9 o'clock in the morning at 740thegame.com, 740thegame on your AM dial if you're local, or you can pick them up on iHeartRadio. But check them out. They're awesome. All right, Black Drum. Tom drop, Rob drop, Duffy drop. I still got Ed. Still got Allen. Still got the tournament slayer, Uno Moss, Andrew Nixon. And so let's see, real quick. We've got about 8 minutes to talk about Black Drum. You know what, man? When the show goes the way that it did tonight and we get a full line of callers, I don't even care. You know, we could talk about Black Drum next week. It don't matter to me. But I wanted to bring up Black Drum because I did run in that school during the tournament that we all fished a couple weeks ago. And it is getting to be that time of year where you're going to start seeing more and more of the slot size or smaller size Black Drum hanging around. But something a lot of guys in kayaks, especially on our coast, don't do very much of, and they do a lot of it up north, is fish with the giants that are around the bridges. Here in Brevard County, 520, Pineda, Melbourne Causeway, O'Galley Causeway, the Railroad Bridge, NASA, and, yeah, all bridges in between, including Culliver Canal, are loaded with giant Black Drum. Alan, have you ever fished for the big ones?
Yeah, you know what? We have. And the last experience I had with them, they haven't I've seen them in no motor zone. I mean, usually actually around this time of year, I remember camping there back in May a couple years ago. And right off that that bar right outside the park, I mean, every morning they were out there just, I mean, tails like brooms, just tailing along that outside bar. And we didn't have any bait, no shrimp, no crabs, no nothing. I know they're picky, you know, from basically from what I've found and from what I hear, you know, basically they're virtually blind. You know, they work off of scent, you know, any kind of stinky baits, whatever. I guess, you know, the reason for the little whisker type appendages they have on their mouth there. But they're, you know, I'd say for me, they've been so far pretty evasive. We got on them one day up around an area that I fished with Captain Alex Gorichki. And probably our fault, we came blowing up on them in the flats boat, you know, not knowing when they were there. And a school of probably, I'd say 40 to 50 fish, probably in the 20-pound class range and up, just humped up. I mean, the water just raised up where they were. They kind of pushed off a little bit, and they stayed right there, and we threw everything we had. And, you know, I think we'd pretty much already spooked them to the point of not wanting to eat anything. But, yeah, they're kind of my nemesis right now. I mean, I've thrown fly, gulp, anything, and they just – you know, it's going to happen, but that's one of my tough ones right now. So, you know, that's pretty much all I can add to about the Black Drum topic. So,
well, I could tell you I've caught a lot of big Black Drum, a lot, and big Black Drum. A stud to me is a 30 to 60 pound fish. Anything over that's a pig. Actually, a 60 pound fish is a pig, but and most of those fish have all come off of bridges. Most of those fish have come out of, actually almost all those fish have come out of boats as opposed to the kayak. But one of the things that I found to make catching big black drum a lot easier is chumming, especially when you're fishing around the bridges here in Brevard County. The 520 bridge, the 528 bridge holds some studs. The railroad bridge in Titusville holds some studs as well. The key to catching black drum from a I'm about to tell you what I use for chum there, but the key to catching the black drum from around the big bridges is unless you have now the use of pedals, because that definitely helps in turning them and moving them away from the bridge a little bit, is chumming them out from away from the pylons. And what we do is we go to the bait shop the day before we're going to go fishing. We buy ourselves two bags of frozen shrimp and a couple of frozen packs of clams if you can. Try and find yourself some live blue crabs, preferably, not frozen, but live blue crabs. And what you'll do is you'll take those shrimp when you get home and leave them in the back of the truck in a bucket. Don't put any water in the bucket. Just leave them in the back of the truck in a bucket. Basically, you want them to turn pink and get nasty. And they'll do that overnight. And once they thaw, they'll turn pink pretty quick. Stinkier, the better. Same thing with the clams. You want to leave the clams in the back of a... I think it's for the pudding seafood boot, and that's gross. You want to leave the clams in the bucket as well. And so anyways, just what you want to do when you get to the spot is just take a handful of that mixture, the clam and the shrimp, and it's kind of gross, but you want to squeeze it in the water a little bit and then just drop it. Just let it free float down. Do it about 15 or 20 yards off of the pylons, so just outside the bridge, and let that kind of like, just kind of float back to, you know, judge the current, pick the right wind direction, let it float back into the pylons, and it will draw them right on out, just like puppy dogs. So once you get a pretty good chum slick going, and, you know, you've got quite a few asparagus, you get quite a few pieces of shrimp and clam going down, take one of your live blue crabs, split them in half. You don't have to quarter them. These drum on the bridges are big enough to eat a half of a blue crab. Hell, most of them are big enough to eat a whole blue crab. And take about a 6-0 circle hook. And this is key. Take a 6-0 circle hook, a pretty dense wire. You don't want to use a super fine wire. You want to use more like a grouper style circle hook. Take a pair of pliers and bend that circle hook open. You want to give it as much of a gap as you possibly can. And then just whittle that hook through the corner of the shell. Drop it down with like a 2-ounce weight, a 2-ounce egg sinker, just like you'd fish for groupers offshore. Send it straight down to the bottom, right below the kayak or right below the boat. Because those fish, again, they're going to come out away from the bridge. What you want to do is you want to get him to eat the bait right below you to where you're about 20 or 30 yards away from the bridge. If you can get him to do that, then just picture it like you're grouper fishing on a wreck. Just turn that handle as hard and as fast as you possibly can. And when that line comes tight, it's on. If he decides he's going to run off towards the bridge, be a man, muscle down, try and turn his head and get him to spin around. A lot of times when they're out that far, they'll run the opposite way because now they're just so far away from the bridge they don't really have a clue where to go. They freak out and just kind of take off. So you're definitely going to need – this isn't something you're going to do with your 3,000 Stradic or your 4,000 Stradic or whatever. This is something you're going to want to mess with like an 8,000 size spinner reel, 6,000 size spinner reel, or even a small conventional reel. But man, the rewards can be big. You can scrape the pylons. I saw Wade Wade say that. You can scrape the pylons, but you're going to get the sheephead fired up, the spadefish fired up. And if you're going to be fishing that close to the pylons, you're probably going to lose at least the first 10 whacks until you sort through all the big ones and get to the small ones. My typical leader / line rig will be a 40-pound Power Pro, a 40-pound braid, to a barrel swivel. Doesn't matter really what size, just something that's not going to be too small because you want to let that egg sinker have a lock so it won't fall all the way down. And then you're going to also want to run from that swivel down to your hook at least 60-pound monofilament. I don't like fluorocarbon for black drum. It doesn't make sense to use fluorocarbon for black drum. As Alan said, they're partially blind anyways, it seems. I mean, they have really poor eyesight, so they're not going to see it regardless. Plus, you're going to want to have stretch in that line. So when they bob that head, you know, they're laying on their side and they're bouncing that head back and forth, you want to be able to give them that little bit of stretch and that give so they don't pull the hook. It's very, very important that you do not try and set the hook. You know, I mean, it's like, what can you say? How many times have you, either you've done it or your buddies that fish with circle hooks, and it's just out of repetition and just years and years of fishing without circle hooks that you try and set the hook. Just crank until you can't crank no more, because it's going to happen when they realize they're hooked, it's on. And I'll tell you, you will see giants. You will hook fish you'll surface one time, and then they'll turn around and say, see ya, and go right for the bridge and break you off. My biggest black drum I personally have ever caught is 86 pounds. That's 10 pounds off the state record. And that was underneath O'Galley Causeway. Just an absolute pig. So, you know, they're there. There's 60-pound fish all over the place. Most of what you're going to find are the 40-pound fish, but you will run into 60-pounders on up to 80 pounds. And I'm telling you, when you see one of those big old nasty bastards start to surface, it's very strange. Sometimes they have barnacles growing on their heads and stuff. But, that's what I do for the big ones. I mean, you can get on the flats and fish for the slot fish and the little bit bigger than slot fish using quartered crabs, using clams, using shrimp, you know, pretty much any of those. But, you know, that's really kind of the best way to do it, is focus on the bridges, because I love those bridge pylons. Ed, you still with me?
Yo. Yeah,
have you done much black drum fishing yet?
No, and, you know, the one that I caught last year was kind of like by accident, really. You know, the just started kayak fishing, was out in the no motor zone and just soaking up some shrimp. But that's about it, really. So my fishing experience is really limited when it comes to that.
Well, I noticed that you put a fancy fish finder on that Hobie of yours. And
I did.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of folks don't think about it, but both the bridge in Titusville, takes you over to Play Linda, and the 528 bridge are both underneath the centers, towards the channel, not in the channel, but near the channel, riddled or loaded with rubble from the old bridge. When they took down the old 528 bridge, they left a lot of that rubble on the bottom. Same thing with the Titusville bridge. So if you take your time and kind of work in and out of those pylons, you'll start to find small piles of rubble debris. And, man, I'm telling you, especially in the summertime, as it starts to warm up a little bit, we'll get some mangrove snappers and we'll get a few grouper species that will cruise into the intercoastal and work their ways to the different bridges and stuff. And, man, you can have your way with them. In fact, it's funny because sometimes you'll drop a bait down for a black drum, and all of a sudden the rod just, you get that one solid thud and it takes off and you never see the fish ever again. But you know it didn't pull like a drum. Well, there goes your grouper for the day, you know. And usually when you bust off one grouper on the inside, you tend not to get very many more shots. I think that they kind of go in there and drum themselves crazy with a busted off leader hanging out of their face to their friend's neck or something. I don't know. It's weird. But, yeah, man, we'll definitely have to get after it. Bridge fishing as a whole, I think, is something that most of us don't do just because we have such good flats fishing here. And, besides the black drum, you got, again, spade fish, big sheephead, mangrove snappers, snook, ladyfish, occasional tarpon will swim through. So there's definitely a good variety of species to be caught in and around the bridges. Let's see, Andrew, what's your biggest black drum you've ever caught out of a kayak?
Me?
Yeah.
Nixon? Oh,
yeah.
10 inches? No kidding, yeah. Yeah, I just don't target black drum. It's something that's just that I haven't been able to put on my kayak resume. I'm not typically in the area where they're at, and I don't use those same techniques, so I haven't been able to catch one. I really want to. I want to catch one of those big, ugly, bug-eyed, buck-tooth, crazy-looking things, but I just haven't had the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I don't even like to use bait. I'm definitely not a bait chucker, but when it comes to every now and again, I get the hankering just to go and either just watch my line just explode off the reel and, feel hopeless. there's not a whole lot that you can do at that moment. I always usually head over to one of the bridges and just drop a bait down and see if they're there. There was one day, it was so funny, this is before my kayaking days, we had a bay boat and we used to fish the 528 all the time. And my brother-in-law Adam and I went up to one of the bridges and we're pitching shrimp up to the pylons, catching mango snappers, and all of a sudden black drum showed up. And it was like, you throw a shrimp in, small split shot, it just sink out of sight, you'd feel a thud, and it was like that helpless feeling of there's nothing I can do right now. we're not fishing with heavy gear, we're just fishing with, Stradic 3000s or 4000s or whatever, and bait casters, the bass gear. But, it's crazy, man. It's nuts. When you hook into one of those big giants. But, like we said before, you can find them on the flats, the smaller fish. Usually it's a live bait thing. Every now and again you'll get one soaking gulp. Procure will help. You can chum a flat just like you would for redfish if you want to get the redfish tailing in the mornings and they're not really tailing a whole lot. You do the same thing with the black drum. Just get yourself a pack of frozen shrimp. Scatter them, within about a 20-yard radius around where you're sitting. Use a stakeout pole and just sit there and wait. And they'll find it. If they're in the area, they'll come swimming up, and you can see them pushing right to you. And a well-placed black clouser fly will usually work. Most guys who throw for black drum throw either a black clouser with a rattle in it or a rattling shrimp, something that's got a little bit of noise, something they can kind of key in on. That works real well, but black drum.
What do you think that's imitating?
I really, I think that their eyesight's so poor that they just pick up the shadow or the dark contrast in the water. I think that's at least what I've gathered from talking to some of the local guides, that they pretty much just fly fishing exclusively. And if you ask any of the locals here, the guys who've been doing it for a long time. That just seems to always come up as the color of choice for black drum is black. And, the only reason why any of us have been able to, try and put a reason, a rhyme or reason to it is because of the silhouette difference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, I think black drum is one of those fish that just has a bad reputation. It's not a glamour fish like a tarpon or a redfish or some of those other fish, but like a jack. Where else can you catch a fish that may weigh 30, 40, 50 pounds, pretty readily, out of a kayak, and it has a great chance of beating you every single time. I really want the opportunity to be able to try to catch one of those big ones. It's just amazing when somebody catches a big one out of a kayak.
Oh yeah, hey, Jack Crivella are our giant trevally. So we don't have the luxury of fishing the Pacific and catching those beautiful fish over there, which is basically our Jack Crivell, and I'm with you, man. Trust me. In fact, I think, Alan, you probably remember me griping about not catching jacks when we were in the motor zone a couple of times in the Ladyfish, and we went down there to the 10,000 Islands, and it was all, most of them were little jacks, but still, dude, I was so stoked just to catch baby Jack Crivell. I care less, if I was catching snook, trout, or reds or whatever. I was catching jacks. I was happy, man, especially on fly. I love catching Jack Crivells on fly. But, no, I'm with you, man. I think that they've just had a bad rap over the years. And what's funny is redfish did, too, for a long time. It took a long time for anglers to look at a redfish as a legitimate sport fish. And, maybe one day the black drum will get a little bit more respect, as far as people target them a little bit more. I think it's just that they're not easy to catch. They can be very wary when they're on the flats and very skittish. And I think they're so, I think they are so spooky because of that poor eyesight, you know. The barbels on the bottom of their chin, much like a catfish, help them to locate that bait. But I don't know. I mean, I've caught a handful of good sized ones out of the kayak, and I've never caught one in the 60-pound range out of the kayak. I've caught some in the 30-pound range out of the kayak, but and then it's just about all you want. I mean, I don't think you really want to deal with much more than that, but you know, it's good fun, man, and that's just it. You know, sometimes I feel like sometimes we as a whole get locked into fishing for the same species all the time. And, you know, if you switch it up a little bit and just say, you know what, I'm bringing the fly rod today, and all I'm going to throw is whatever, surface poppers. I'm going to try and get trout on the fly. Or, oh, you know, today what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and I'm going to throw whatever, gold spoons. Or I'm going to throw, you know, the unfair lures, dinkum mullet or whatever, and try and catch just snook, you know, and try, you know, fish for things that you're not accustomed to fishing for. That'll help you become a much more well-rounded angler, more proficient angler. And then when you go into different situations, as you've proven, Andrew, you know, you don't have a hard time figuring things out. You can kind of just, oh, okay, well, fish should be here, and, you know, this is what they should be eating. And I think a lot of it has to do with, I guess it's just, I don't even know, man. Weird. I don't know why people don't fish for black trout more often. I really don't. I really enjoy catching them. I do, and I like eating them. To be honest with you, I like eating them better than I like eating redfish. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't know.
I've eaten a few. You know, I've caught a handful of you know, keeper size, usually out of the boat, or I've got a few places where I fish from shore, you know, with just with dead shrimp, you know, and we're able to catch them, but I just haven't been able to get them out of the kayak. I guess, can we call them a flat donkey? You know, we call the amberjack the reef donkey. Can we call the black drum the flats donkey?
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's a fair statement, man. They definitely pull harder than a redfish does. You know, for, you know, pound for pound, I think they are a little bit more beefy than a redfish. I think redfish are faster, but I think just as a hard pull, it's pretty crazy. I noticed in the chat room, folks are talking about croakers. Yeah, if those of you that are not friends with Irish Jean McElroy on Facebook, if you didn't see the croaker she caught the other day, that thing was a redfish without a spot. It was, I think she said it was like 22 inches or something like that. Crazy.
Yeah, that's the biggest croaker I have seen in decades. It was amazing. It had to weigh 4 pounds.
I'm telling you, I'd ate it. I'd took it home and ate the thing, man. Or found a headboat to jump on and took it out to a deep water reef and drop it for a giant grouper. But you know, that's pretty crazy. And I noticed that in this month's issue of the Florida Sport Fishing Magazine, they actually talk about croakers saving the day, along with triple tail and various other creatures that that they discuss in that particular publication. But you know, I'm looking forward to this warm up. You know, I'm really looking forward to throwing the fly more this year. You know, one of the things that I think I'm going to do with my new boat is I think I'm going to do the HBAR on the Pro Angler 14, and the only reason why I think I'll do that is to be able to put a rod holder on the bar itself, so that when I'm standing up and I'm push pulling, I have to bend down to pick up a pole. I can just kind of grab it and shoot from where I'm at, you know.
That's really a great idea. You know, I do a lot of standing up in my PA-12 using the stand up paddle board type paddle, doing a lot of sight casting, but that's one thing that I really haven't gotten tuned in is rod placement. You know, I still have to lay the paddle down, bend down, pick up a rod, and be able to make that cast. And at some point, you lose sight of the fish, you know, looking for your rod. I think that H bar with a rod handle, a rod holder on it, would be absolutely fantastic.
And I said, you know, but not only is it hard for you to, you know, recover and pick the fish back up again, you know, on occasions when you bend down, But I think sometimes when you do the little crouch down, pick up the rod, it actually will spook the fish because it gives them something, some kind of movement where normally you're just kind of drifting into their vision, if you will, and they just kind of like hang out for a couple extra minutes and, oh, look at this, you know. When you start moving around in the boat, whether you know it or not, you're making alien noise. You're putting vibrations in the water that weren't there before you started moving around. And then, of course, your shadow or your silhouette, depending upon which way the sun is shining, can throw them off. But, yeah, I think that mounting some kind of a rod holder, I'm pretty sure that Ram, if not Ram, I'm sure Luther's got something that would work in just clamping on to that H-bar and calling it good. I know that, in fact, I know that Ram, the company itself, is coming out with a pedestal, if you will, that will fit on a Ram ball that is for that purpose. I saw it. I saw a small ad for it somewhere on the web. I don't remember where. But it's about hip high so that you can push pole along and then, oh, there's a fish. You can tuck the push pole underneath your arm, pull the rod out of the rod holder and fire, or, you know, take your time and lay the pole down too. But I'm not real sure what they when they expect to have that out, man. But I'm definitely wanting to do a lot more flyers here. You know, and Alan and I were talking about that this weekend. I had an opportunity to run up to Jacksonville to pick up my boat, and when I did, I went into Black Fly Outfitters and picked up a couple of flies that they had there pre-tied, and one of them's a shrimp pattern that I've seen Chris Sensi from Slayer Inc. use for triple tail up there. And I can't wait to sling that thing at some reds, man. It is sick. It looks like a DOA shrimp tied with fiber. It's the craziest thing. I'll post a picture of it up later on after the show tonight. But, yeah, I don't know, man. You know, that's like one of my goals this year. I'd love to try and not only get a sailfish out of the kayak, I would love to have an opportunity to get a sailfish out of the kayak on a fly. And I think that it's possible. I think it would be a pain in the butt, but I think that it's possible. If I get down to South Florida or while we're up in the panhandle, if there's a pretty good sailfish bite going on, I've already figured out that I can troll a dredge behind the PA-14, a small dredge, and maybe get them to come in on the dredge and be able to just, you know, roll cast them a big old surface popper or something like that on the 12-weight. But that would be pretty slick, man. I'm not going to lie. I'd be pretty pumped about that. Or any of the pelagic species, for that matter, on fly. That'd be cool. But anyway, we're at 9:18 p.m. And, you know, the show typically only runs an hour. We got 21 people there in the chat room. I definitely appreciate everybody sticking around and listening to the spiel. A couple of things I definitely want to get to and talk about real fast before we call it a night. Safety, 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 safety. Can't emphasize it enough how important it is that you have a PFD with you when you're on the water. Us Floridians, sometimes we get a little bit complacent. It gets warm out. We take it off. We sit on it. We put it behind our seat. We have it in the front hatch, whatever the case may be. Go out, spend the money, buy yourself either one of the panty pack style PFDs, the flat lay across your chest style PFDs, something that you can inflate quickly if you should need to. In the hot temperatures in the summertime, you definitely got to be ready for just about anything. You know, I watched Brandon's video of him rolling his PA-12 in fact, in his little video, I think he even said, you know, wear your PFD. It's an important tool. Ed brought up earlier having a flag with you. When you go offshore, because we're all going to do it this year, man, make sure you fly a flag. Yeah, the Yak Attack flag is cool. It helps. But, I mean, if you're going to be out on the big water, just make yourself one out of like an 8-foot piece of PVC and fly a flag that someone's going to see from a good distance away. Or a sport fisherman's going to see when the captain's up in the tower bouncing around. Don't need anybody getting run over. And
hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
One big thing also when going offshore is that check all your plugs. There's a guy that had a Pro Angler 14, left one of his plugs out, and he was out pretty decently far before he started taking in some serious water and had to call in for help and get towed in on a jet ski. So
that's a good point, man. Just like a boat. All these boats have, all of these kayaks have plugs to drain the water out. Obviously, if you drain the water out the weekend before and you forgot to put your plug in, you're going to feel and see the ramifications for that. And if you go offshore, that's not the place for that to happen. So definitely, that's a good tip. I appreciate that. And I don't care what any publication tells you. Do not mount green and red lights to your kayak. Don't do it. It doesn't make any sense. If you don't know the law of the water, green and red lights signify that you're under power, that you're moving, that you're a moving vessel. So another vessel that's moving can then pass you, and that's okay. And they can run full speed past you, and that's good. That's a legal move. A white light, which is what you're required to have for Coast Guard rules, signifies that you're on anchor and that you're not moving. And so they're supposed to stay away from you. So just remember that. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care who tries to sell you the cool little LED lights to make it look cool. That's bottom line. That's the truth of the matter. Just remember that. You know, lights inside your cockpit, cool, whatever. Then put blue LED lights inside your cockpit or green or whatever color, red, whatever colors you want to use so you can see what you're doing at night up underneath your flash guards in your kayak or whatever. Awesome. Trust me, I plan on doing it in mine. So, but as far as mounting, you know, navigational lights on your kayak, do not do it. I just saw it in a publication like 2 weeks ago. They actually had an article about doing it and how to do it. So, yeah, but don't do that. Not a good idea. And of course, you gotta have a plan. You gotta tell somebody where you're going, when you're coming home, when you expect to be back, where you're launching from, that kind of thing. If you're gonna beach fish, some of these guys that have been doing it off of Playlinda have already figured it out. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to everybody meet at parking lot A or B or 1 or 2 or whatever, and then everyone just paddle out from there. If you can, park one vehicle here, have another vehicle drive down about, you know, 4 or 5 miles down, 10 miles down, whatever, park a vehicle there, and then just work your way back down to the first vehicle. And it saves you from having to go against the current of the ocean, the power of the ocean, in case the wind should pick up. It's easier to get back. So a couple things there to end the show. But listen, Ed, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. First time you've called in, I think.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
No, absolutely. And if anybody wants to check out your leatherworks, man, you're the baddest dude I know that does it. Give us your info,
man.
Tell us how to get a hold of you.
I'm the only dude you know that does it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got me. How do we get a hold of you?
You can just go to the website, hellbrandleather.com, or just swing by the shop over in College Park. I'm two doors down from David's World on Edgewater Drive, so... Got beer in the fridge, hang out, whatever.
Sweet. Cool. Thanks, man. And, Andrew, where's your next tournament at, man?
We got this weekend off, and then Jack's Classic the next weekend, and then IFA in Jacksonville. So we're in Jacksonville 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah, we're excited about the Jack's Classic. I know there's a bunch of us from this local area going up to it. It'll be my first Jack's Classic I've ever fished. Not expecting to do a whole lot. Just want to go up there and have a good time and get to see some familiar faces, meet some new friends and stuff. So, cool, man. Looking forward to seeing you up there.
That's going to be a good time.
Thanks for calling in, brother. And Alan, of course, my co-host here on the Monday Night Kickoff Show. Bro, you planning on fishing at all this week?
No. You know what? We got to do the family thing at Universal this weekend. So, taking my wife and daughter over there, going to spend the day. It's kind of a work thing we do every year. They have a little shindig for us over there. They close the park down after 7 o'clock to midnight, so it's a good time. So we're gonna probably spend the day there Saturday and come back late. So So depending on how much sleep I get, I may try to get out Sunday, but I'm kind of 50-50 on it. So we'll see. I'll probably do it, but no set plans. Just have to see how the weekend goes.
Very cool, very cool. And Alan's wife, her uncle, right? He has he operates spacecoastoutdoors.net. www.spacecoastoutdoors.net. Your online resource for self-guided outdoor adventures along our space coast, fishing, birding, kayaking, hiking, biking, backpack camping, backcountry camping, sorry, surfing, and more. If you have any more other information or you need any other information as far as what to do when you're over here on the Space Coast, contact Dean Pettit, 321-917-6169. There you go, but I gave out the right information this week. And, of course, all my sponsors, Hobie Kayaks, Tackle Webs, and everybody else, EgoNets, definitely appreciate all the support. Folks, do me a favor, find me on Facebook if we're not friends, become my friend, follow me on Twitter, Redfish Chuck. It's pretty easy to find. And look forward to talking to you guys next week. Take a kid fishing. And, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody up in the Boston area. God bless. Take it easy. See you guys. Maybe, if I could find my music. Horrible. Later.